You're listening to audio from North Monroe Baptist Church. To find out more about the church or donate to this ministry, visit northmonroe.com.
The first week of December, actually second week, but normally it's on the first week. We always shift the emphasis to missions. Before we talk about Christmas, we want to talk about our purpose. And our purpose is defined by the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And we've known as a church that our calling is not just to reach Monroe, Northeast Louisiana, but it's also to reach the world. And when I first came here, we were learning about missions. And we had some mission projects going. We would take these mission trips, as a lot of churches would do, you know, get 40 or 50 people and go somewhere for a week or two. And that had some results. And then we started working with a camp in the Ukraine, and we saw some results there, but nothing like transformational. And then God led us to Wade and Barbara Aiken, which was kind of cool because Wade's family was in this church. His mom and dad were here. He grew up in Bastrop, Louisiana, played halfback for the Bastrop Rams. And so he was right here all the time, but when we ran into him and he showed us, as a career missionary to Brazil, he had developed a program called Pioneer Evangelism, and it's basically reach and teach and lead people to starting churches and houses. And I've never seen anything like it. It's New Testament at its core. The results have been phenomenal. We're seeing thousands and thousands and thousands reach for Christ, just like in that video to Paraguay, 200 more people were equipped to go out and begin planting churches. And really, in my opinion, I said this in the early, Wade and Barbara Aikens are as close of a 21st century example of Barnabas and Paul of anybody I've ever seen. And when they come and talk, for me, it's like hearing the very voice of these first century guys who were changing the world for Christ. You know, they said of Paul, he's turned the world upside down. And these two right here, believe it or not, have turned the world upside down. And so we want to welcome Wade and Barbara Aiken to North Monroe. Let's let them know how much we love them.
Thank you. Oh, it's so good to be back with friends. We just consider this one of our church homes, and you are family and friends, and thank you for that. You know, in the Old Testament, God says to his children over and over and over again, remember, remember what I have done for you. Remember the great things that I have done for you. And when we come here, that's what Wade and I want to do. We want to remember the great things that God has done in and through your church in the ministry that he's given us. Well, this year, David McCormick, he took a team to Busia, Uganda, which is in eastern Uganda, and they did three what we call leadership training. We bring in pastors and church leaders. We had them in three groups, and we train them and teach them the Bible, because these leaders, they don't have access to internet. They don't have commentaries sitting on their shelves. Many of them don't even have Bibles, if you can imagine, and they are so hungry to learn the Word of God. So we had three of those, and then we also showed God's love in a practical way by giving out reading glasses to the lost that come, and we share God's Word with them. Well, in the evenings, we bring all the participants together, and David and Wade, they would kind of do a revival spiritual awakening, encouraging all those pastors and leaders in the evening as we brought them together. And during the day, David and Wade had a group of pastors and leaders, and David was teaching them the book of Ephesians that your pastor Bill wrote back when he went to Tanzania to train leaders. Then also Joey Young and James Goldman, they taught a group of leaders the Pioneer Evangelism, which is a church planting strategy that that God actually created through us. And so they trained them. And in this area, through Patrick, which we began training years ago, over 1,000 have been baptized, and he started over 70 house churches with that strategy, Pioneer Evangelism. And then also Shelley and I, we taught the women. And these women, they have hard lives. If you could imagine having to get up in the morning and you have to cut the wood that you use to cook with and you have to walk miles to get water. They're kind of used and abused, these ladies. They're kind of forgotten. So when we bring them in and we have this special training for them, they just feel like queens. And, oh, they love Shelley. They just love Shelley because Shelley just poured her life into them. And then Richard and Kathy Baker, they gave away 980 reading glasses, if you can imagine. You know, we just go down to Walmart and pick up, you know, several reading glasses so we can have one in every room. But these people, they make about $2 a day, and so all their money has to go for food. So they've just been walking around for years not being able to see or read. So it's a special time for them. And while they wait to receive these reading glasses, we share the gospel with them through a paint talk. And I just have to brag a bit. That's our granddaughter, Anna. She's a junior at UT, the other UT. I'm a Texan. She goes to the other UT. We're proud of her. You know, we have a testimony from these reading glasses. We have lots of testimonies, actually, but I'm going to read you a testimony from someone who came and got some reading glasses. Her name is Esther. I hated Christians my whole life and picked arguments with any Christian. I would mock them for believing in Jesus. I would mock them for saying that their Savior Jesus Christ died naked on the cross. I would challenge them by saying, if you say your Jesus is alive, then give me his contact number and I will talk to him. But the eye camp, that's what they call the reading glasses, the eye camp changed my life. I could not believe that Christians had that heart of giving generously without anything in return. I've been suffering with my eyes for 2 years, and nobody would even help me. When I saw these Christians giving the glasses away, I accepted that truly it's Jesus who is alive and can make wonders. I accepted Christ, and I am proud. Even my husband is scared of me nowadays. I know that he too will accept the truth soon. And here is the great things that God has done. They registered 1,073 people that came for reading glasses. They were able to give away 980. And we not only shared the gospel with them that day, but we offered every one of them a Good News Evangelistic Bible study in their homes that Patrick's team went to them, to their homes, to do with them. And 432 accepted those Bible studies. From that ministry, they have baptized 232. Of that, 71 were converted Muslims. Let us always be faithful to remember the great things that God has done.
If you have your Bibles, open them to the book of Amos in the Old Testament. And I want to say it is a joy to be back here in North Monroe. As always, the highlight of our year, to come here at the end of the year, every year. And we love your pastor, Brother Bill, and all the staff. And we've had a lot of time together with Brother Mac. And I know you're going to hate to see him and Shelley leave you. But they're going to Colorado to serve as missionaries here in our own home country, which we desperately, desperately need. Today, I would like to talk to you and share with you about the title, A Message of Hope. So if you have your Bibles, open them to the book of Amos. And we'll be in different scriptures in Amos, but I want to share with you a really tremendous, powerful truth from this great prophet of God. Many years ago, I heard a story about a simple farmer, uneducated farmer, and he felt led to become a preacher. So he started pastoring this little country church. And after a couple of months, the deacons had a little meeting. And they got the pastor and they said, Sir, we're just going to have to be honest with you. You can't preach. You're just a horrible, horrible preacher. And how in the world did you become a preacher anyway? And he says, well, I was out working in the cotton field, and I looked up in the sky, and I saw these clouds forming three letters. And the first letter was G, the second letter was P, and the third letter was C. And he says, when I saw those three letters in the sky, he says, I took that to be a message from God saying, go preach Christ. Well, the deacons thought about that and they said, I think you made a mistake. Those three letters were a message from God, go plow corn, because you can't preach. It reminded me, that story reminded me of the book of Amos. Amos was a simple farmer. He was not a preacher. He was not ordained. In fact, he just took care of sycamore trees. And he lived in the south. Israel at that time had two parts, the south, the north. Judah is called the south. Israel is called the north. So he lived in the red state. And he was out there tending his sycamore trees. And God said, go preach Christ. Not plow corn, go preach Christ. So he left the red state and he goes to the blue state up north. And he's preaching up there. And look here in chapter 7 and verse 12. After he preached his message, oh, look what they said. The pastor up there, who was really ordained, he had the authority from the king to be the preacher. His name was Amaziah. He came to Amos. They had a little deacon's meeting, and they came to Amos, and he says, get out of here. Go home. Go back down to the red state. You're not welcome here. Go back to Judah. Earn your bread there. Prophesy there. Preach there. We do not want you up here. What in the world was his message? Well, I want to share with you 2 points today in the book of Amos. When I was in seminary, I had to study Hebrew. It was the hardest course I've ever had in my whole life. Had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and study and get ready for class. We had 3 semesters, quarter system. We had 3 semesters learning all the grammar. And when we finally finished through the grammar, then we had to study a book in the Old Testament from the Hebrew, translate every single word, every verse, every chapter from the Hebrew right into the English. We didn't have all this technology we got today. And the book that my professor chose to do was Amos. And since that time, I've really come to love this book. And there are 2 points I want to make to you today, only 2. I'm not a long-winded preacher, but I just want to share with you these 2 points. Amos had a message. And I want to share with you, the title of this message is A Message of Hope. But number one, the first point in the book of Amos is Amos preached against sin, against injustices and suffering. Look back over in the chapter 1, if you would, and you'll see in verse 3. He says, for the 3 sins of Damascus, even 4, I'll not turn my back on my wrath. Verse 6, for the 3 sins of Gaza, even 4, I'll not turn my back on my wrath. Verse 8, I will destroy the king of Ashdod. I will turn my back on Ekron. Verse 9, for the 3 sins of Tyre, even 4, I'll not turn my back on my wrath. Verse 11, for the 3 sins of Eden, even 4, I'll not turn my back on my wrath. Verse 12, I'll send a fire on Teman. Verse 13, for the 3 sins of Ammon, even 4, I'll not turn my back. Chapter 2, verse 1, the 3 sins of Moab, even 4, I'll not turn my back on my wrath. And then he says, chapter 2, verse 4, I've got a word for the red state. Now remember, he's preaching up in the north in the blue state. I got a word for the red state. And here it is, the three sins of Judah. Even four, I'll not turn my back on my wrath. Now here, all the people listening to Amos preaching this, and man, they're going, yay, get him, man, get him. You're going to get Ammon. You're going to get Moab. You're going to get this country. All the cursed countries that circled Israel. You're going to get them. God's going to take them down. Thank God. Yes, go get them. Even Judah, get them. And then you get to chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. And now I want to talk about the sins of Israel. And look what he says in chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. You're selling the righteous for a pair of silver. You sell the needy for a pair of sandals. You deny the justice to the oppressed. And you profane my father's name. And when he did that, he said, wait a minute. You've stopped preaching and now you've gone to meddling. Go home. Get out of here. Go plow corn. You know, the first message of missions is this. It's the bad news. The bad news is we're all sinners and there's going to come a judgment day someday. Dr. R.G. Lee of Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis used to preach a famous sermon called Payday Someday. And the reality is all of us in this room have come short of the glory of God. Blue states, red states, it doesn't matter. We're all the same and we're all equal before God. And God has no favorites. Barbara and I have had the privilege of the last year since 2000 of traveling throughout the world. We've been in 67 different nations of the world now, preaching the gospel, sharing, teaching, training thousands and thousands of pastors and leaders throughout our world. And there's one thing I've noticed about all the religions in the world. Doesn't matter if it's Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, Spiritism. It doesn't matter what kind of ism you want to put on it. Even Christianity. There's something in common about them all. And that is this. If you live a good enough life, you will go to heaven after you die. But the reality is, according to the Word of God, that's not true. That's the biggest lie Satan has ever put upon humanity. The reality is, for you to be good enough, you've got to be perfect, sinless, to enter into the presence of a holy God. And only Christ has done that. And the reality is, there is none righteous, no, not one. The reality is we all come short of the glory of God. And the reality is every single one of us will face God face to face on judgment day. Are you ready? When that day comes, the second point I want to make from the book of Amos, this is the last one. Not only did he have a message against sin and justice, suffering, a message of the wrath to come. There is a judgment day. But the great thing is, that's the bad news. Now I'll tell you the good news. He had a message of hope. Look in chapter 9, verse 11. And this is the main text I have for today. In verses 9, verse 11, he says, In that day, there's going to come a day. I will restore the David's fallen tent. Look at verse 14. In that day, I'll bring you back. In that day, I will rebuild you. In that day, I will replant. In that day, I'll make gardens. In that day, I will plant Israel in their own land, never again to be uprooted for the land I've given them. In that day, there will come a time when you will be restored. And here's the message I have for all of us today. And this is the message that we preach and teach all over the world. It doesn't matter how bad you are, how sinful you've been, what your past is. When you come to the Lord and you repent and you surrender to Him, I'm telling you today, He will restore you. And the reason is, Jesus Christ came to this earth as a man, God in flesh, lived a life without sin. He died on a cross, shed His blood, was buried. On the third day, He rose from the dead, and He's alive right now, and He wants to come and live in your heart. And when He comes into your heart, He does three things. He forgives you of your sins. He changes your life from inside out. And He writes your name in the book of life. You can be restored here today, regardless of who you are and what you've done and what your past is. God has a message of hope, and He will restore you. And that's what Amos is saying. And as we go throughout the world, Barbara and I and this church, we all participate together. That's the message we take. And we do it two ways. And I want to share with you how we do it. Simple. Number one, we share this message of hope and restoration in Christ by showing God's love in a practical way. Showing God's love in a practical way. That's why Barbara showed you a moment ago about giving away these little eyeglasses. You know what? You know how much they cost? They cost about 75 cents or a dollar. But over in East Africa where we work, the people are so poor, they cannot even afford them. They'll walk all day. They'll even walk 2 days once the word gets out that we're giving away a free pair of reading glasses. And when we do that, we're showing them that God loves them. And you know, we can preach all day long. We can preach, and we can teach, and we can talk, and we can share our words. But unless we do it with love, it's not going to have any meaning. And so what we're doing as a part of our ministry throughout the world is that we're showing God's love and message of hope in Christ that you can be restored regardless of your past by showing God's love in a practical way. We've told you before about our water filter ministry over in Rwanda and Burundi on the eastern side of Africa. But now we've started another ministry of actually putting wells, shallow wells, in a village. The people where we work among there, I wish I had the English power of English words to describe to you what it's like. To get up in the morning and walk 3, 4, 5, 6 miles to a dirty water hole or a dirty pond or a filthy river and get your drinking water for your family right there while the cows and all those animals are eliminating their waste in that same water. And the diseases you have to live with and the pain and the suffering physically that causes. When you got up today, you drank water, you brushed your teeth, and you thought nothing about it. So what we've done is that we put wells in an entire village. They cost about $2,000, $2,300. They dig them. I wish I had a picture. I'm going to show you next year. I'm going to show you a picture of a hole of a guy going down with a shovel digging 20 to 30 feet down. And we're putting a well in the hole for the whole village to have good, clean water. Here we see a picture of Barbara. She's pumping it. You know, the women pump out there. The men don't. The women carry those buckets of water on their heads, and they do all of that. I got tons of testimonies. I just want to share with you a couple of them. We just put a well in this village just a week or two ago, and here they wrote, they said, there was no water in this area. We had to look for water even in the water holes. the nature of the water the people were using. It caused all kinds of diseases. It tastes bad. It tastes salty. It would not even quench your thirst. And we had to cook our food, wash our clothes. Another guy wrote, he says, we've been suffering here so much. But this well has helped us so much, especially the children and all the kids that go to the school next door to the well. Here's another one. Our children walk 3 kilometers every day to get water. They get sick, and we have to take them to the hospital, but we have no money to pay at the hospital. Here's another one. Here's a young boy. He has to go and get 40 liters of water every day to use at his home. He gets tired. He has to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go get water, and he's always late for school. And he said, but thank God this has stopped. Thank the Lord. And let me tell you, you're all a part of that because you support this ministry. A second way that we're showing God's love in a practical way is through our Bible ministry. We've just started this. I want to ask you a question. What would you think if Pastor Bill pastored this church, but he was too poor to have a Bible? He doesn't have a Bible. Now, how do you pastor a church without a Bible? Well, I can tell you right now, we got tons of them where we work. Seminary students, no Bible. I just taught a seminary class by Skype up in northern Uganda, over in eastern Uganda. 6 of those students had Bibles. Barbara taught a women's conference in Kenya just recently, and only a few of those ladies had Bibles. We got pastors, seminary students, church planners, women leaders. They don't even have a Bible. Now, they cost about $7 to $12 a piece. That's about what we drink Coca-Colas every week. I want to ask you, would you just give a Coke money for 1 week and buy a Bible for a pastor? Showing God's love in a practical way, eyeglass ministry, providing water, providing Bibles, the Word of God. And then the second way, not only did we show God's love in a practical way, but we literally teach and preach the Word of God. This Bible I have in my hand, that is God's Word. I call it God's love letter to man. And we've been traveling now for a long time in many, many countries. But you know, God has opened up a new ministry through technology. And one of the things that I'm doing now, when I was in Brazil, let me tell you what I did. I had a truck. Ulotta Moon Christmas Offering bought this truck. And I put a platform on that thing. And I'd go into these towns and villages and I'd mount up a screen and I would preach the gospel to literally thousands and thousands of people. Barbara added up one time. She said, wait, you've preached the gospel to over 800,000 people in the plazas and the streets and the fields. These aren't crusades in Brazil while we were missionaries there. And God showed me just recently, I mean this year, we can do that again. We can do it in Africa. And the way we do it is we're using technology, and I'm preaching literally what we call living water crusades. We put a well in a village, they provide them physical water, and then we come back and we preach. We have a living water crusade, and I'm preaching in my house in Memphis. In fact, I actually just wear a pair of shorts, put a nice shirt on, they can't even see me. And I'm just standing there preaching the gospel right from my own home. Here's a picture. Last Saturday, I preached to 7,000 people with a pair of shorts on in my house. Of course, they didn't see that. 2 weeks ago, I preached at 10 o'clock in the morning to thousands of people in Uganda, and at 11 o'clock, I preached another crusade in Mozambique. One was in English, and the other was in Portuguese. Let me just read you what's the results. I got this today, right before I came to the service. The pastor wrote me. He says, here's the results. Every night, I found myself dreaming of a cemetery. I was always dead inside a grave, unable to get out. I dreamed I was flying in utter darkness. And each night I woke up sweating in great fear. The dreams brought a great fear to my life. This is a Muslim lady writing this. In need of relief, I went to the head Muslim in our village. He told me to make a sacrifice mixed up of animals and vegetables. He promised me that if I would do this, the dreams would stop. I paid him all the money I had, but the dreams continued. So then I went to the witch doctor. He performed a protection spell, and he gave me a protection belt to wear around my waist. But the despair continued. Today, this was last Saturday, a casual friend invited me to a crusade. I was afraid that my Islamic husband would catch me. I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. I'd never been to one before. And the Musungu prayed. That's the Swahili word for white guy. And I accepted Christ. And I no longer have those dreams. And there are others in my village who are suffering just like me. And God can help them too. Here's another one. I was born in a Christian family, but I would go to the witch doctors for help. But today, the Musungu, the white guy, preached about the only right God, that Jesus died for us. I felt something I have never felt. I knew I've been lied to by these witch doctors. And I regret that I wasted many years in darkness, and he gave his life to Christ. Here's another one. I was coming home, walking home, and I found a crusade. And there was a man up there preaching about Jesus and how he died for us. And he was on this screen, and I thought it was a film. And someone told me, no, he's preaching live from America. I was shocked, surprised. And I went to the altar and gave my life to Christ. I mean, just one after another. And what we're doing is we follow these people up with Good News Bible studies, put them in small groups, and we're starting house churches. You see, the message that we have for the whole world is a message of hope. And the message that we're taking to the world is this: it matters not who you are, and it matters not what you've done. And maybe you're here today and you say, oh, Brother Wade, you just don't know me. You don't know all the bad, terrible things I've been involved in. You don't know what I'm doing now. You just don't understand. I'm going to say you this. If you'll just say to the Lord, I'm walking down the wrong road, and I know that Jesus died for my sins and he's alive, and you'll turn your heart over to him and you surrender your life to Christ, he'll come in and he'll do three things. He'll forgive you of all your sins, past, present, and future. He'll come in by his Spirit. He'll change your life from one end to the other. And the third thing he'll do is he'll write your name in the book of eternal life. He can change your life today. He can restore you. That is the message of hope. Years ago, there was a man named Polycarp. He was pastor of the church in Smyrna. It's mentioned in the book of Revelation. He was the next generation after the resurrection of Jesus. He had a very influential ministry because he denounced paganism. They called him an atheist, even though he's preaching Christ. They said he was a destroyer of the gods. He preached for 50 years this message of hope in Christ. In 156 AD, 156 years after Christ, Christian persecution broke out, and the civil authorities targeted Polycarp. He went into hiding. The authorities captured his servant, made him tell him where he was, and they found him hiding in a hayloft. He was 86 years old. And they brought Polycarp out into a stadium. And there were hundreds, maybe thousands of people there. And he waved to the crowd. And he looked into heaven. And he said, "Away with godliness." The governor said, "Swear, deny Christ, and I'll let you live." And he said, "For 86 years, I've been a servant. I've been Jesus' servant, and he has never done me wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who saved me?" And they burned him alive. He had that message of hope in Christ in his life. And I want to ask you, do you have that? Are you ready for the judgment day? Does Christ live in your life? You say, "How do I know? Has your life been changed by Christ? Have you come and surrendered all you know of yourself to all you know of Him and said, 'Jesus Christ, I want you to be the Lord of my life, the ruler of my life, the King of my life, the Savior of my life. I give you all of my life. I surrender all.'" You come to Him, and you'll have that message of hope in your life. Let's bow our heads and pray. Some of you here today, you need that hope. The hope that Polycarp had that would take him all the way to be burned alive, knowing that he knows Christ. You say, "What have I got to do, Wade?" Here's what you do. Prayer does not save you. There's nothing magical about praying, but right now, in your own words, you can pray to Christ. It's not the words. You can just say, "Lord, I surrender. I give you my life. Come into my heart." Whatever you want to do. But you say, "Lord, I'm going the wrong road. I hear your voice. And right now, I want to give you my life." Now, I know that most of you today have done that. But here's the question I got for you as a believer and follower of Christ, a Christian. God has a mission for you. You see, Amos was not a preacher. He was a farmer. You may be a housewife, a student, a plumber, electrician, doctor, lawyer, school teacher. That's your vocation. Your mission in life is to share this message of hope with those who do not have hope. Would you just say to God right now, "Lord, for the rest of my life, I want to be on mission. Some way to somehow use me, God, to share this message of hope that I have in Christ. Use me, Lord." In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Bill.
What on earth are you here for? Do you know? What's your purpose? The thing that really inspires me about Wade is he knows his purpose. 72, Wade? 73? Yeah. 75. 75. Last year, you walked up Machu Picchu?
Two years ago.
They did the 3-day hike into Machu Picchu.
Wade started out in Vietnam during the war. Then he spent decades in Brazil, and now he's all over the world. He knows why God made him. Do you know why God made you? Well, I got news. It's not about you. It's not for yourself. He's made us for his purpose. If you'd like to know what your purpose is, then we'd love to help with that. As soon as this thing is done, go over here. See these team over here standing in the corner. They want to talk to you about how you can know for certain that you have a relationship with Jesus and you can discover what God's purpose is for your life. If you don't have a church home, they can help you with that. You know, God didn't give birth to spiritual orphans. Every one of us should belong to a family. And if you're not in a spiritual family, this is a good one. We'd love to have you be a part of North Monroe. I want to ask you to do something for us, though. I want to ask you to pray for Wade and Barbara, for his longevity, his health, and that God would continue to use them around the world. And pray for David and Shelley as they began a new phase of mission. And I want to pray for you, that you would discover what God's purpose is for your life. You know, he ended that thing with Polycarp, one of the early church fathers. Polycarp, who was burned at the stake for his faith. A guy told me one time, he said, if nothing on earth is worth dying for, then nothing on earth is worth living for. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful word of encouragement from our missionaries, Wade and Barbara. I thank you that he shows us what a meaningful life looks like, a life that's full and filled with purpose. God, there are people who've listened today and they're struggling with why are they here? What is life about? Why have you put them on this planet? And I pray today they would discover what your purpose is for them. And Father, I pray for those that prayed that prayer as Wade led them and that they received Christ by faith, that they take that next step to make it public, to believe in their heart, confess with their mouth Jesus is Lord, and to take that next step to let other people know about it right here today. And I pray, Father, for those that know they need to be baptized and they saw that baptism today and they realize I need to mark myself as a follower of Christ. And Father, for the many who need a church family, I pray that they would become a part of the family here at North Monroe. And we pray for Wade and Barbara that you would continue to use them and that you would continue to use David and Shelley wherever you lead, Father. And we thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen.